There are only two places, in fact, two countries that can claim to have this distinction. But we need the rest of the planet to get there. Any guesses on what's the distinction? It's reaching net zero emissions, which only Bhutan and Suriname can claim to have achieved so far. So why is it important? Why should you be involved? And how can you be involved in this? All questions answered on this episode. Hello and a warm welcome to yet another episode on the Mission Shunya podcast. Wherever you are, I hope you are safe. And during this COVID pandemic, I hope you're taking the required precautions and staying safe. And especially if the vaccines are available, please take a shot and keep yourselves and your near and dear ones safe and protected. If you happen to listen to this podcast episode during the week of release, you would have realized that the Earth Day just passed by. And this podcast has a special connection with that day, as the very first Mission Shunya episode went live on Earth Day 2019. If you listened to this the very first time a couple of years ago, that is in 2019, you would have wondered, what is this transition towards a zero carbon and a net zero economy? What is it all about, and why do we need a podcast to talk about all of this? In fact, during the time when I rebranded my blog to this theme, which earlier, by the way, was more towards the 100% renewable energy objective. So then rebranded to this, and then I launched this podcast. I was probably one of the very few who spoke about the net zero transition publicly on such a medium. Oh yes, you can definitely go back and double check on that. You wouldn't find any major announcements from countries, companies, or others committing to it prior to early 2019. There were literally a very few who were talking about this, big corporations, countries, and even global universities like my alma mater, Cambridge, began bringing this to mainstream only towards the end of 2019. Again, the reason I got interested in this is because I have been involved in this space for a decade now and worked on the wide contours of sustainability, ranging from solar, renewable energy, energy storage to electric mobility. I also found inspiration from one of the books. One book that I really like around this theme is Sir David Mackay's book, Sustainable Energy Without the Hot Air. I have mentioned about this book earlier in a few episodes as well. It's available for free online. It provides a definitive argument on how the supply and demand of clean technologies can actually stack up on a side-by-side case, with UK as an example. You should definitely check that out. Now let's get to the first point on what exactly is net zero and why is everyone interested in this. So what exactly is net zero? Zero carbon or net zero is a state where any emissions that we emit, say in a period, is actually balanced by absorbing an equivalent amount from the atmosphere. The term is also interchangeably called carbon neutrality or climate neutral. Again, there is a small line of clarification in this. Removal of carbon dioxide is one part, whereas there is another side to this, which involves removal of other greenhouse gases from the system like methane, nitrous oxide, and HFCs. Climate experts say that in order to meet the 1.5 degrees Celsius temperature rise set by the Paris Climate Agreement, global carbon emissions should actually reach net zero by the middle of the century. Meeting the 1.5 degrees Celsius goal is very critical, because the projections are that we could face severe adverse impacts if we miss this target. This past week on Earth Day, the US got back to the negotiating table on climate change. Well, that's how German Chancellor Angela Merkel called it. The US announced that it would reduce its emissions by 50 to 52% relative to 2005 levels by 2030. That's more than what was said during the Obama presidency. A big boost for the movement towards reaching the 1.5 degrees Celsius target. So that's a big positive news from the Earth Day. But the good news or the positive news is that technology solutions are available today to make this target possible. Renewable energy is actually mainstream and is cheaper than conventional sources in many countries around the world. Countries see this transition as the green industrial revolution and could actually transform the economy just like the way the original industrial revolution did. Apart from energy, other sectors like transportation, another contributor to emissions, is increasingly turning electric. Other sources like livestock production, this is carbon intensive activity, and we have meat alternatives that are available in the market, so that could actually offset this part of the emissions. But of course, this decarbonization can't be seen as uniform. That is because some sectors in the economy can have or get to net zero, like in energy, heating and transportation, as I said earlier. But some spaces, like even within transportation, that is aviation and shipping, can't be totally decarbonized, which means they will continue to emit. So we will have to remove more from the system around it so that the entire system balances out. Transportation really takes a big chunk of the emissions, especially aviation and shipping contribute to a significant part, but recent advancements in zero emission aviation is an encouraging sign. Recently, countries have committed to fly the green route, especially France has banned domestic flights that can be covered in less than 2.5 hours time. So basically, you have no option to fly unless you rent out a private jet if your distance can be covered in 2.5 hours. So if you are in France, you contribute to this noble cause by default. But if you are elsewhere, you can do this by choice. Stop taking a flight for a short distance unless absolutely necessary. I know people actually travel to the airport for 2.5 to 3 hours actually. So there are better alternatives that can be more sustainable as well. Another big news in recent weeks, or should I say in the recent months, has been an increased interest from the global private sector financing arms, especially around driving to net zero transition. Big banks have individually made commitments of around $1 trillion between now and 2030 to 2050. So clean tech and sustainability projects could get priority lending. Now, after looking at why everyone is interested in this, let's move on to the second point on why should you be involved in this. Let me tell you a short story. A family living near a seacoast in Southeast Asia lost its entire lifetime savings and assets due to an unseasonal cyclonic storm. Cyclones are not new to this part of the world, but what was unusual about this event was that it was unseasonal and its impact was very severe. Such events have been a regular occurrence in the recent past, and for a family dependent on the seashores for their livelihoods, they can't move away from this because of such occurrences. Unfortunately, this family or none of their countrymen played a huge role in the cause for climate change. You will hear more such stories from people who live in that zone. Stories like this are a common theme, and especially for our generation who have witnessed the havoc caused by the COVID pandemic, we can foresee what could be coming if climate change turns out to be the next pandemic. The effects of climate change impact different people in different ways, and it turns out mostly the highest impact is to that part of the society that is least resilient. It doesn't fulfill one of the core principles of sustainability, the need for social equity, which is totally unacceptable. Do you know that every time a catastrophic event as a consequence of climate change occurs, the entire ecosystem and socio-economic development is reset? So the ideal time to reach this milestone of net zero emissions would be the middle of the century, and an even optimistic note would hope that we reach the target well before that. But unfortunately, looking at today's trend, it is unlikely that we will reach that before 2070. So every small action that you and I take will have a direct impact on the planet, the ecosystem, and a negative impact on that will have a catastrophic boomerang on our natural ecosystems. So we have to act now. And that brings me to my third and final point on how can you be involved in this? Well, you would be surprised or even ponder when you continue to hear about the need to reduce, reuse, and recycle across multiple episodes of this podcast. But it does have a positive sustainability impact on the planet. Be it ensuring lowering your energy consumption, managing water wastage, or even for that fact, upcycling old stuff into new products? Oh well, talking of that, you should definitely listen to the story of Reimagined all the way at episode number 8 of the Mission Shunya podcast. You can check that in your podcast playlist. Reduce emissions as a source is another valuable thing. Typical example would be to use zero emission mobility wherever or whenever possible. Be it the private vehicles that you can have, or you can opt for shared mobility services, especially the micro mobility vehicles that are increasingly gaining prominence around the world. Another theme that you would have heard a few times again on this podcast is the need to eat less meat or look for meat alternatives, particularly the plant-based ones. Of course, I can't comment much on how it tastes because I don't actually eat meat. But again, I got a few friends from UK and US who tried the meat alternatives to come and share their experience. It's again available on episode 15 of this channel, which you can go back and listen to. And yes, I am lining up another story on meat alternatives, and it should be up pretty soon on the channel. If you are in the developed world and if you use gas-based heating, then switching to alternative sources could be a simple act that you should consider. Heat pumps and electrical heaters are getting a big boost in countries like UK, which has committed to move from central heated gas or oil-fired boilers to alternative sources in the next few years. We should encourage and adopt sustainability in a small way wherever possible. Another way is the capital route. If you are an avid investor, think before investing in non-sustainable options. Spend a little time in evaluating options like renewable energy projects, electric mobility, or other projects that you can invest in. In recent time, ESG funds, which have a high influence in the environment space, are getting traction. So it might be worth a bet, an early one, if you get started with that soon. Crowdfunding projects is another route. Funding sustainable projects or ideas through the avenue of crowdsourcing, where there is an option for you to invest into some of the most innovative projects from around the world, is something that you should consider. In fact, in the near term, I have lined up a few episodes around this theme, where you can get ideas on taking this route of investing in a range of sustainability projects. And before I forget, there is this angle of carbon offsets as well. It is close to putting a price on carbon. If you are running a big industry or if your carbon consumption is very intense, you can try the route of carbon offsets. People buy carbon offsets, and where the capital generated from such transactions is put into sustainable projects. Not my personal choice, I should say, but definitely worth a shot. So, finally, how does this look to shape up? It took a few years for everyone to get around this idea of net zero emissions, and then go on to make strong commitments, thereby making net zero sound like a mainstream solution now. But of course, the narrative now has moved on and shifted to go negative, which is equivalent to putting back the emitted carbon emissions to its original sources. Again, remember the discussion we had on a recent episode on carbon capture, utilization and storage. So the theme is definitely going to be around removing more carbon than we put in the system. By the way, you can check the episode number 53 on the playlist to know more about this technology. Of course, the narrative of why don't we plant more trees, etc. is going to be there and be debated from time to time, which I believe we shouldn't stop that either. Every act counts. So, to sum it up, I do comment once again that net zero targets are definitely attainable and we can definitely take one act at a time and deliver consistently. I'll wrap up the episode with that. Hope you felt good to hear on why I started the podcast and where this fits in the overall narrative of net zero transition. A couple of references will be in the show notes section of the show and on the website as usual. Finally, if you like the podcast theme, subscribe to it, write a review or share it with friends and colleagues. It helps in the podcast's long-term mission. With that, this is Girish Shivakumar signing off, and as always, thank you for listening.